Good morning, everybody. Good to see everyone. Thank you for coming and being with us today and celebrating God's presence. If you are here for the first time, there should be a connect card in the pew rack right in front of you, and we hope you will take that and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate. If you're joining us via live stream, we are glad that you're here. There'll be an address on your screen, and we hope that you will go to it and let us know that you've been with us. If you have prayer concerns or other things that are going on in your life, either write it on that card or write us at that address, and we'll try to respond to it as best we can. But we're glad you're here, and we hope that you will come back and be with us again in the days that are ahead as we worship our Lord and as we try to serve Him the best that we know how. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's join Him in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the love that you bring to us. I thank you for the grace that you offer us. Let your Spirit be upon us as we come here and help us to know you well know you better than we ever have, to love you more than we may have ever loved you, and to know that your love will never end. Be with us today, O Lord, for it's in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. This is Daniel Taylor, folks. Stand up, Daniel. Daniel is our new front office administrator. Let's welcome him to our church. Thank you for being with us, Daniel. We appreciate it. Daniel plays the piano at the Lutheran church, and he plays about three other instruments and sings, and so he's in the wrong church. Amen. Yeah, amen. Would our children come forward for a children's time?
Oh, boys and girls, thank you, Zach. You know that song? Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you and you and you and you and you. Where are the rest of our friends? We need to get on the phone and call them and say, where are you this morning? We miss you. You doing okay? What happened this week? School. School happened this week. Kindergarten happened this week, Henry, right? What do you think so far? Is kindergarten going to be okay? You don't like fourth grade? I'm sorry. You don't like school at all? Oh, you don't like middle school? That's right, London. You're in middle school now. Oh, my goodness. How was the week for you? It's okay? Good? Some good news over here? Anybody report anything good for the week?
No.
No? Logan says no, no. Now, come on. Let's shift our attention. Let's shift our focus to so many good things. You were able to go to school. You were able to be with new friends. You met some new people. You're going to learn a lot this year. I didn't like fourth grade either, but I lived through it. Yes?
I didn't like third grade.
You didn't like third grade? Yeah. But see, that's done. That's done and over with. So why do I have a pencil, London says. Listen, what I used to get excited about was brand new pencils. Say, yippee!
No,
brand new pencils. Well, I mean, you still use pencils in school, right?
No, we use pens.
You use pens or your finger on the pad. You're only allowed to use pencils. There you go. I love a new pencil. Look at this. Look at that. Brand new number two pencil. Oh, the possibilities. I'm going to ruin it. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do anything to it. But look, it's not sharpened. It's never been used. That's exciting to me. But you know what's not exciting? It doesn't have a drawing thing on it, does it? Because the lead's down in the middle. See, Henry, I've got to put it in a pencil sharpener. Look what I just did. I've got to put it in a pencil sharpener. Zzz. And then the lead comes out, and I can do all kinds of things. You know what I don't like about a new pencil? We would bring new pencils, particularly on the day of a test. Do you have tests in school?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't had one yet.
Well, I mean, you already have a test coming up in September. So what do you think about tests?
No.
I hate them. They're boring. But we need tests to measure what we're learning. That's why we have tests, to measure what we're learning. Are we paying attention? Are we listening? Is our brain growing? Is our heart growing? You need pencils. You need tests. Oh, boys and girls, do you think God ever gives us a test? Do you? What would a test look like from God? Do you think we need a pencil?
No.
Probably not. What do we need? What do we need? We need our head and our heart. Oh, my goodness, yes. We need to connect our head with our heart because there are some tests that are coming up for you this year, for me, for all of us. But here's the thing. Listen to me now. The Bible says this. The Bible says, be ready. Okay? The Bible says, be ready at any minute for a test. And you know what that test is? Be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready. If anybody asks you, where is your happiness? Where is your hope? Where is your peace? Why are you being such a nice person when other people have been mean to me? Why did you do the right thing when other people asked you to do the wrong thing? When people ask you what makes you different, the Bible says, be ready to tell them, oh, it's because I know Jesus. You ready? Let's say it. I know Jesus. We've been talking about following Jesus for a long, long time. Jesus knows you perfectly, and he wants you to know him. He wants us to follow and trust him. He wants us to be ready at any minute when someone asks us for help or for kindness or just asks us, hey, why are you being nice to me? Or why do you have hope when everything seems to be so hopeless? And then we can say, because I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know he is the Prince of Peace? He is kindness. He is love. He is joy. He is strength when you're most weak. He's everything. Ayla, give it to me. He's everything. Oh, I want you to know Jesus. Remember last week we looked at the doorknob and we talked about letting Jesus in our hearts? You didn't see that, did you?
Yeah.
He wasn't here. You missed something when you're not here. We talked about Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts and us opening that door to let Jesus in. Oh, boys and girls, let's continue to listen for Jesus knocking, to let his love and spirit into our minds and our hearts. And let's be ready this week for a test. Not just at school and not with pencils, but with heads and hearts ready to pass that test. And you know, better than an A+, when we pass the test that God gives us, oh, can you imagine God smiling when we do the right thing? Wouldn't that be beautiful to know that you've made God smile? Let's pray about it. God, thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you, oh, so much for your love and that you know them, you know us, you love us anyway. God, help us to be ready for that test when someone needs us, someone needs you, someone needs kindness, help, forgiveness, grace. Help us to pass the test and make you smile. Keep knocking on these sweet hearts in front of me, and I rejoice in the day that they open those doors and let you in. This day, let them know how much you love them and want to love the world through them. In Jesus' name, amen. School's not so bad, boys and girls. Really, it all gets better, I promise.
Come find his mercy, come to the He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God.
My song shall ever sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
You can be seated.
How marvelous, how wonderful. Those aren't words we use a lot. But if anybody deserves those words, it's Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
That means yes, I agree, so be it. Have you noticed that traffic has changed in Blacksburg? But the good news about that is the students are back. And they are back, and we thank God for you students. We're so glad that you're back. Returning students are here, and brand new students. We made over 100 connections on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday outside, giving free ice cream away, and some of those students are here this morning. We had to pull in extra chairs for our small group, and more to come. A lot of students told me, Todd, I'm not coming back till Sunday night. I'm going to squeeze every last minute out of this summer break. So next Sunday will be even more full, and make sure that you are true to a testimony that was given in our college small group this morning. Bennett, I've got to quote you. Bennett gave a word to the incoming new students. He said, if you want to be welcomed and you want people to wrap around you in love, especially the old people. I mean, you said older, right? Older, older. And he was talking about this too. But this is a place for you to be welcomed and loved. This is a place for everybody to be welcomed and loved. I couldn't have said it better, Bennett. Let's bow before Holy God and thank Him for the traffic and what it means, and thank Him for this being a place where everybody is welcome. Collins Galosh is probably the youngest one in the building this morning, at just a few weeks old. And God, you know who the oldest one in the building is. And everybody in between, we thank you. We thank you for this place because you are here. We thank you for your spirit of hospitality, your spirit of welcome, your spirit of grace and mercy, your spirit that promises how marvelous, how wonderful, in spite of us, in spite of me, there you are. Here you are, God, and we're here to meet you. We're here to praise you. Help us to do that in this place, in this hour. Help us not to seek praise for ourselves or anybody else. Help us to praise you, the one and only one who deserves such. God, there are people sitting right here of all ages who are struggling. You know so much more than we know. I pray that you'd minister to them by your Spirit right now. Let them know right where they are. I am with you. I see you. I know you. I am for you. And I will help you. Oh God, please let us discover more of you today. Find out, therefore, more about ourselves. And when we leave this place, give us your eyes to look outside ourselves, outside this building, see the world that you loved so much you died to prove it, and may we pass the test. Help us, Jesus, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Thank you to everyone else who's takes a lot of people to make a worship service successful. A lot of folks do not understand how much that takes, and I'm appreciative for all of them as we go through the services that we have here every Sunday morning. Back in 1988, I had an experience that my family has never let me forget, largely because it was my fault, and all of it was my fault. 1988, my wife was in graduate school. My son, Eric, was 3 years old. He was in Colonial Hills Daycare Center in Hillsborough, North Carolina. He was very happy there. We were very happy with him being there. One day came when it was my turn to pick Eric up from Colonial Hills Daycare, so I went to the daycare center, and I went in. There was a large rack and just inside the door. I picked up Eric's backpack, went and threw it in my truck. Right after I did, there was a lady that came walking out of the building. She is an ordained United Methodist minister who ran the community action program there in the community. She was having some personal difficulties, and I knew it, so I stopped and I started talking to her about the struggles that were going on in her life. And after we had talked for several minutes, we both got in our cars and we left. And I got about halfway home and I turned around to ask Eric a question, and that's when I realized I had Eric's backpack. I didn't have Eric. He was still at the daycare center. So I turned around and I drove about 100 miles an hour back to the daycare center. And as I was going there, I was trying to think of every excuse that I could think of why I was not there when I needed to be. I looked at them and I walked through the door, and someone said, "Well, hi, Tommy, how are you?" I said, "Fine. Didn't we see you here a few minutes ago?" And I started to say yes, but the Pope was struck by lightning and they called me to pray for him. But I decided that I wouldn't do that. I made a mistake. I told the truth. I told the person that I was talking to, the Methodist minister, and we got carried away, and I jumped in the car and I drove on home without Eric. I should have known that this was going to come home to haunt me when she started laughing hysterically and could not stop. Anyway, I got Eric, and we got in the truck, and we left, and I started going home, conjuring up a story of why we were late getting home. But just as I walked through the door, Susan looked at me, and she said, "So you forgot Eric and left him at the daycare center, huh?" Being the sweetheart that she was, the daycare center director, who was a friend of my wife, picked up the phone and called her as I was going home because she knew it would get me in trouble and she would enjoy doing it. Now, in my defense, I got Eric's backpack, and it was a really nice backpack. That thing cost a lot of money. But for some reason, my wife did not think that backpack was supposed to be the priority of the day. In hindsight, forgetting Eric probably was not my best day of parenting that I ever had, and getting Eric's backpack and bringing him home was not the best move that I ever had when it came to remembering what the priorities of life are supposed to be. Anyway, the point is, Eric swears until this day that he was scarred for life, even though he doesn't even remember that happening. And Susan's just not a reasonable person when it comes to her children. Anyway, life is about priorities. It's about being able to decipher what is a priority versus what's not. It's deciding what's really important and then chasing after whatever it is that really matters in life. That's what our scripture passage is about today, Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. The bottom line of this passage is, if there's one thing that matters more than anything else in the world, That needs to be our priority in life. That needs to be our top concern. That's what Jesus is saying to us here. If you want to have a truly fulfilling life, you need to decide what's really important in your life and then invest your life in that. But some people have a hard time doing that because they just can't decipher what's really important. Here's another true story, came out of Charleston, West Virginia just a few years ago. Man called the sheriff's department. His wife had gone missing. The deputies came to his house, and the man said, "My wife left to go shopping hours ago. She never came home, and she's not answering her cell phone." The sergeant said, "Describe your wife to us. What does she look like? What's her height?" He said, "She's around 5 feet tall." He said, "What's her weight?" He said, "I'm not sure. She's always thinking that she's too fat." He said, "What color are her eyes?" He said, "They're blue." "What color is her hair?" He said, "Well, it changes 3 or 4 times a year. I think it's brown." Said, "What was she wearing?" He said, "I think she was wearing jeans and a blouse." He said, "What kind of car was he driving?" She said, "She was driving my truck. It's a new 2016 Ford F-150 King Ranch 4x4. It has custom leather seats. It has a heavy-duty towing package. It has a DVD with navigation, a backup camera, 6 cup holders, 4 power outlets, custom bed liner, an all-around vehicle warning system. And oh, it has a little scratch on the left front door that my wife put there several months ago." Sergeant stared at the guy for just a few seconds, and then he said, "Don't worry, Mr. Morgan, we'll find your truck for you." Just for the record, they did find the truck, and they did find his wife. She drove it to Nashville, Tennessee, to see her new boyfriend. It pays to know more about your wife than you know about your truck. Everybody has their own priorities. Some of them are stupid, but some of them are pretty good. You can tell a lot about a person's priorities by listening to what they say and by watching what they invest their time and their money in. This passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning may seem a little odd to those of us who are looking at it from a 21st century point of view, but this story would have made perfectly good sense to the people that was hearing that story in Jesus' day. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. I've had people ask me before why the man just didn't take the treasure with him. The answer to that one is very simple. This man was an honest man. He was out working one day. He saw a treasure. It was an amazing treasure, and he thought he needed to have it. People buried their treasures under the dirt back in that day. Yes, there were banks, and you could deposit in a bank, but the banks were set up predominantly to support the businesses, and therefore the common people didn't trust banks very much. And so if they had something that was extremely valuable, they would plant it under the dirt, usually very deep under the dirt. And it was particularly interesting that if their country was about to go to war, it was very common for the Hebrews to plant their most valuable things in the dirt. And if their area lost the war, quite often that treasure would stay there for years and years and years. This man was working for someone else. He was digging in the dirt. He found a buried treasure. And keep in mind, this man was working hard because usually people buried their treasures deep in the dirt. This man was digging deep for his employer. But then he came across this buried treasure, and he knew what he had found was more valuable than anything else that he was ever going to have, anything that he was ever going to find. And so this man very quickly buried it back in the ground, and then he went home, he sold everything he had, and he came back and he bought that field. Why did he do that? According to Hebrew law, if you found a buried treasure on someone else's land, that treasure belonged to them, even if they didn't bury it there. If you wanted to claim a buried treasure, you had to invest in it. So this man sold all of his belongings, everything that he had, so that he could buy that field because he knew what he had found there was worth sacrificing. It was worth sacrificing everything to have what he had discovered. It was worth the total investment of his life in what he had discovered there. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Back in Jesus' day, to own a beautiful pearl was to have one of the most valuable things that you could have in life. That's why the pearl merchants of that day were the highest on the stratus of the people who were in business back in that day. You could not get higher than to be a pearl merchant. According to Jesus, this merchant had been looking for choice pearls that he could sell in his business when he suddenly came across a pearl like none that he had ever seen before. It was more valuable than anything he had ever witnessed. And so this man sold everything that he had, and he bought that one pearl of great price because he knew he was never going to find another pearl as valuable as that one as long as he lived. Folks, there are several lessons that we can glean from this story, these two stories that we've read here today. I don't have time to go into all of them, but the first lesson of this passage is one that we quite often overlook in them. There's more than one way to find God's love. I grew up in the old evangelical tradition where at the place where my family went to church, there was this notion that if you were going to meet Jesus, you had to be gloriously saved. In other words, you had to have this big emotional experience with God. And if that didn't happen to you, then it was a sign that your salvation wasn't real, or that God didn't want you, or that you had done something so bad that God was not going to meet you and forgive you. But this story points out that there's more than one way to come into a relationship with God, and all of them are important. The first man in this story was not looking for a treasure. He was just doing his job. He was going about his everyday business when all of a sudden he discovered something that he had never known about in his life. And he was so surprised by it, and he knew that it was such value that he just had to have what he had discovered. He knew it was worth investing everything for what he had discovered. The point is, there are people all around us in this world who aren't looking for God at all, but that doesn't mean that they don't need him. I have a friend who's very much like that in his life. He and I have talked about faith on many occasions, but it just really isn't something that means that much to him. He has a very good job. He has a truly beautiful home. He has a great family. He has lots of friends. He thinks he has everything that he needs. But what's interesting is he goes from one project after the other trying to invest himself in things that he knows and thinks will make a difference in this world. And he doesn't understand that as soon as he gets through with a project, he's not satisfied anymore. He has to have another one. He has to have it quickly because he has a treasure that's buried out there that he hasn't discovered yet. And he's needing to discover it. If my friend finds that treasure, it's probably going to be an accidental discovery that some of us are going to help him dig out in his life, because he's not looking for that one treasure that could make his life feel full. The man in the Bible story wasn't looking for treasure, but when he found it, he invested all he had and all he was ever going to have in what he had found. On the other hand, the second man in this story was on a search. He was looking for something to find. He knew what he needed, and he was going to do what he needed to do to try to discover it. Several years ago, I had a man come to my office who was also a good friend of mine. He walked in totally unannounced, and he sat down and he said, "I've got everything that I ever wanted in my life. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got four great kids. I own a nice house. I'm at the top of my profession. I make more money than I had ever thought I would make in my life. I've achieved every goal that I set for myself when I got out of college. I said, well, that's great. What's the problem? He said, the problem is I'm miserable. I am not satisfied. He said, I've got everything I ever wanted. Something's missing, and I know what it is. He said, I've been searching for something all my life, and I thought chasing after my goals and dreams would be good enough, but now I've got everything that I thought I wanted, and I'm still not satisfied because I know I left God out of my story, and I need to have Him in my life. I was raised in church. I didn't like it. I walked away from it. I thought I would never need it again, but I know that's what's missing, and I want you to baptize me into the faith. I baptized him just a few weeks later, and he gave a testimony that is one of the best that I've ever heard in 45 years in the ministry. The first lesson of this passage is that there's more than one way to find God. The second lesson is you'll never discover the depth of God's love unless you're willing to invest your life in that love. Back in 2014, 15, somewhere in that area, there was a young woman who had been coming to church here regularly. She always sat in the very back row of the balcony. She also went to a Bible study on campus, and she had enjoyed it very much. One day she came to my office and she asked me if I would baptize her into the faith. And so I did baptize her into the faith the very next week, but it wasn't like most of the baptisms that we do here. I didn't baptize her on Sunday morning in front of the entire church. I baptized her on a Tuesday afternoon, and the only people who were there was this young woman and me and one other friend. This woman wanted to be baptized, but she had to be very careful because this girl was an Arab Muslim from Kuwait. And she knew if the other Arab Muslims in the area found out that she had converted from Islam to the Christian faith, they might try to hurt her. She also knew that if she did convert, that many of the people back in Kuwait might try to harm her family. But she also knew that if she did convert to the faith, her parents were never going to speak to her again. All of her siblings, except one brother, were going to have nothing to do with her again. If she ever tried to go back to Kuwait, she might be killed, and the people around there might take this out on their family. I asked on the day of her baptism if she was sure she wanted to go through with this, and when I did, she said, I discovered something in the Christian faith that I had never found as a Muslim. She said, I found a relationship with a God who loves me and whose love I don't have to earn. He wants me, and He is giving me His love. I discovered that with Jesus Christ, I was equal to all other people, male or female, and that I did not have to try to do things to make God lift me up, that God was already willing to do that. She said, Jesus is worth everything to me, and I want to give my life to Him. That girl was baptized that day, and she went on to serve both her profession as a professor in Pennsylvania and as a servant of Jesus Christ in a church there, and she has done it all very well. And until this day, her family has never spoken to her again. That girl was truly sacrificing to follow Jesus. She was investing her life to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. How I do wish I could make everyone we baptize understand that that's what baptism is supposed to be. It's a sacrifice of ourselves for one who loves us no matter what. And our service to Him after our baptism is a way of saying thank you for loving us even when we didn't deserve it. That young woman gave her life to Jesus Christ because Jesus was the treasure of her life. He was the buried treasure that she had never even tried to find until one person invited her to a church where her faith became real to her. Jesus was worth everything to her. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. Jesus Christ comes to us and He offers us the best of life, the best of heaven, the best of earth, the best that He can give us. And what He asks us in return is to invest our lives with Him and to trust Him for the miracles of the future. Why is that so hard for us to do? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I come to You today giving thanks for the treasure that I discovered when I was 16 years old, for the treasure that others had been trying to teach me since I was a child. I thank You, O Lord, for the treasure that lives within our souls and for the opportunity to be able to serve You. I thank You for the blessings that You want to bring us and for the joys that You want to put within us day in and day out. Today, O Lord, I ask You to give us the courage and the strength to evaluate our lives fully and to ask ourselves, what is it that I need that I am not finding? And to realize that the treasure of Your love is what we need. Give us the ability, O Lord. Give us the commitment to be able to say, Lord Jesus, come and live within my life. I know that You're what's missing, and I want to invest my life for You. I want to give my life to You. I want to be what You would have me be and to do what You would have me do. Come, Lord Jesus, and fill me with the wonder of Your grace and the beauty of Your love, and help me to know that I'm a child of God and You have nothing planned for me that isn't wonderful. Come, Lord Jesus, and make us more like You. For it's in Your name we offer our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Tommy, thank you for that lesson on priorities. Jesus said it so perfectly, knowing His disciples and audience was concerned about so many things, worried about so many things, pursuing so many things. You remember when He said, seek first the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven that He had ushered in. The King standing there saying to them, saying to us, breathe. I know about all that. Seek Me first. And then the Apostle Paul, whom I can't wait to meet. I don't love everything he said, but I sure do love his commitment and passion to his priority to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul said, as you're going, whatever you're doing, do it as if for the Lord Jesus Himself, for His glory alone. Don't seek people's applause. Whew. I think the only way we can do that is first to want that, and number two, to know the Father's heart. That I might know the Father's heart, that I might follow in His ways. It is my prayer to be a servant set apart, to always trust Him and obey. That I might know the Father's heart, that I might somehow feel His pain, and in my death to self I'll know in greater part the awesome glory in His name. I pray He takes me and makes me a servant who will answer to the call, that He would hold me and mold me into the image of the One who sacrificed his all that I might know the Father's heart, that I might follow in his ways. I long to walk the path of righteousness and faith, and on this journey never stray. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That I might know the Father's heart, that I might somehow feel his pain. Oh, let the spark of faith that burns inside of me become a sacred holy flame. I pray he takes me and makes me a servant who will answer to the call, that he would hold me and mold me into the image of the one who sacrificed his all. When I cannot see your purpose, when I don't know what to pray, in my crisis of belief, help me find your way. And make me a servant who will answer to your call. Hold me and mold me into the image of the one who sacrificed.
This is a day that our Lord has given us as a gift. It's a blessing for us to be able to come together and to celebrate and to sort out our priorities in life. If you've come here and you've decided that Jesus needs to be the priority of your life and you want to give your life to him, if you'll come at the close of the service, we'll help you with that. If you have already done that and you would like to be baptized, come and let us know that, and we will be glad to get you going on the next steps of this journey. If you would like to join our church and be part of the mission that we're on, we'll be waiting for you. If you'll come, we'll help you with that. If you have other things that you need to do and you're not sure how, come and we'll be happy to talk with you. Whatever it is, when we go out that door, we are going out of the place of worship to become his church in the world. Let's do the very best we can to be as committed as we know how to the one who loves us no matter what and who has great plans for our lives. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, folks.